Okay, Parashat Vayetzer. Okay, what I want to do this week, I'm going to do something I generally don't like doing, and that is start teaching a class not really sure where it's going to go. I've been working on a certain Rashi, trying to understand it, and I think I have an approach. I'm not positive. So I'd like to learn through all the background information that we need together, and then see if we can tackle it and see if we're able to come to some sort of an understanding. Fascinating Rashi. The description of the topic that we're going to be talking about is Yaakov's dream that he has on the way to Haran, on his running away from Esav. But the aspect that I want to talk about is not about the dream itself, which is rich in material about the description, but where was Yaakov at the time of the dream? Where was his location? There's a lot of discussion on this, a lot of a lack of clarity almost in the Psukim, in the verses themselves, and that's the Rashi that I want to go through. So I want to quickly go through the story outside, just so we should all be familiar, and then we're going to read it inside, looking for all the different points as to where he was, and then learn Rashi's approach, who's going to give us two approaches to this, and then some of the things, the pearls that we can glean from the way that he addresses it. All right, the parasha opens up, the story we're familiar. Yaakov has just stolen the bracha from his older brother Esav at the end of last week's parasha. His father and mother both send him away from Esav, basically, to go find a wife from the land of Haran. Who's he going to in Haran? To Laban, to his uncle. Now, is Haran in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael? Outside. Outside. And how do we know that Haran is outside of the land of Israel? There are probably a lot of places, but this is where Eliezer went to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he was sent.
Don't take
from the lands of Canaan. Go out. Go to Haran. Go to my family, which is where Yaakov is now heading to Lavan's house, to Haran, find for himself a wife as well, to run away from his brother Esav until things cool down, and he's on his way over there. Some point during his journey, he has this dream, the famous dream with the ladder, the angels going up and coming down. He has a prophecy from Hashem who promises that he's going to protect him. He wakes up and he says, I didn't realize how holy and special this place was. He makes a vow, and he anoints a rock as a mizbeach, as an altar. That's the basic gist of the story. Now we'll go through that. I want to now go through the psukim, passing over all of the points as to the meaning of the dream, the significance of the dream, the purpose and the angels and the vow and all of those things. We're going to skim through that just to work through the several different points of understanding where Yaakov is at the time. So let us work it through. Beginning of the parasha, page 144. Now for this first pasuk, I want you not to look at the English. First pasuk, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov left, departed from Be'er Sheva. Vayelech Charana. What do you think Vayelech Charana means? Good. Vayelech means to go. Charana is just Charan plus the hay at the end, to Charan. Vayelech Charana. Where is Yaakov at this point at the end of this pasuk? Well, he started in Be'er Sheva, we know that. He's left there. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. He clearly has left Be'er Sheva. Vayela Haran. And he went to Haran. Pashup Pshat. Simple meaning would be he is now in Haran. He left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. Now, I Bari Land. You know, if you can make Google into a world, you can into a verb. You can Google something, you can bar-ilan something. So, bar-ilan, the word vayelech in the Chumash, or in Tanakh, I should say. In Tanakh, it appeared 224 times, the word vayelech. But now, it doesn't always appear in this context of a person going. It appears in a lot of different contexts. There are a number of contexts in which it appears, vayelech charana. He went to a place.
But the future tense?
With the vav means and past tense. With the vav. The vav vayelach is and he went. So various times you have references of these kinds of verses. So if you'll just even flip back one page, page 142, we describe this even in Pasuk Zayin. Chav Chazayin, verse 7, Vayishma Yaakov El Aviv, this is describing the same incident. Yaakov listened to his father, Vayelech Padena Aram. And he went to Padam Aram. So if you look at the English on that, and he went to Padam Aram, that's where he went to. Vayelech Padena Aram, he went there. Vayelech Harana means he went to Haran. Good. Now, it's sometimes used in different places. There's no clear thing. A most simple reading would have led to assume he was in Haran. We will see that really is not going to work out very well, but I want to at least start off that right away when you read the first pasuk, it's not clear where he is. We know he left Beersheva. Vayelech Haran could mean he's already in Haran. Could mean he went towards there.
Anywhere in between.
Or anywhere in between.
That's, well, we don't even know whether it's a city or it's a whole area.
Correct.
But we know it's outside of
it. Well, we know it's outside the land of Israel. And the Torah says he left Beersheva, Vayelech Harana. Now, we don't need to know that that's where he went because the Torah already described that in the verse we just looked at a couple of psukim before. He listened to his father and his mother and he went there. So I don't need to know where he was going as far as his destination is because that was already told to me. So if I already know where his destination is, and the Torah again repeats, Vayelech Harana, what should I, the reader, think the pasuk is telling me? That he's going towards there, or that he got there? Which one would make more sense?
Got there.
Think so also. If I already know the information as to what direction he's heading in, and that was told to me previously, in the previous couple of psukim, and then it again says, Vayetze and Vayelech Harana, I think I would have naturally assumed that means that he's already there. We'll see. Obviously, I'm spending so much time on this, there's going to be some different ways to learn it. But I'm just setting that up. Okay, that's clue number one. Clue number two, let's continue on. 11, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayifko b'makom, he encountered the place. Which place is that? Torah doesn't say. Vayifko b'makom, he encountered the place. Vayol and Shomen, he slept there. Kivo HaShemesh. Why did he sleep there? Because the sun had set. Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, vayosam irashosov, vayishkov ha'makom ha'hus. He took the stones, he put it around his head, and he slept there. Again, focusing on our agenda, leaving aside what the details of the stones, and I'm sure you're familiar with the famous statement from the sages, that the stones quarreled, which one should have the righteous Jacob, the righteous Yaakov, have his head rest upon it. But leaving that aside, where is Yaakov now?
The place.
Now it seems that we are supposed to know what that place is or where that place is, because the Torah doesn't tell us, but it describes it as if, sure, you know, the place. He was there. That's what we have. Vayifko b'makom. So he arrived, reached the place, and he slept there. Why did he sleep there? Because the sun had set. Now that's an odd way of saying things. Normally you would say, you know, the sun set and he went to sleep. Here it seems like that's the reason why he slept. He would not have otherwise have slept there. The only reason why he slept there was the sun had set. Okay, we'll get back to that point. Continuing on, Yud Beis. Vayachalom, he had a dream. Vine suwa mutzavarza, there's a ladder. The ladder set in the earth, in the ground, Veroshoma Gia Shomaima, its top reached the heavens, Vine Malachel, Lukim Olam Yodnabo, and the angels were going up and down. Vihine Hashem Nitzavalov, Hashem was standing upon him, Vayomar, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham, Avicha, I am Hashem, the God of your father Avraham, and the God of Yitzchak, Ha'oretz Asher Ato Shochev Aleha Lecha Etenena Ulezarecha. Clue number three. Says Hashem to Yaakov during his dream, again leaving aside the meaning and purpose of the dream, what does Hashem say to him? The land upon which you sleep, I am giving to you and to your children. Where is Yaakov now? Right, he has to be. He's got to be in the land of Canaan still, right? So whatever we're going to say in that first pasuk, Vayelech Harana, it would seem it can't mean that he actually got to Haran, right? Because where does he have his dream? In the place. We don't know where that place is. But that place clearly is somewhere in Canaan. What's the proof that the place that he's sleeping in must be in Canaan? Because Hashem says, the land that you're sleeping upon, I am giving to you and your children. That's obviously a reference to Canaan, the land of Eretz Yisrael.
Well, not so obvious, because Hashem could have been telling him in Quran that I'm going to get back to you.
Okay, technically speaking,
yeah.
It would certainly follow, since we've seen this language many, many times, and if you remember only 6 or 7 psukim before this, in the end of the previous parasha, Yaakov is the one who received the blessing to receive the land of Eretz Yisrael. So it would certainly seem logical that this should be the land of Canaan, and that this is a reiteration of the promise which has been said to Avram and to Yitzchak and now to Yaakov, I will give you this land to you and to your children. Fair point that it's not, you don't have to say that, but it would certainly seem to be the most logical thing. Continuing, Yudalit 14, V'hoyo zarocho ka'afar ha'oretz. Your descendants will be like the dust of the land, ufaratza yama v'kemezma, you'll spread out all directions. V'nivrchu v'cho kol mishpachos v'admo v'darocho, and all nations of the world will bless themselves through you. Okay, again, if you wanted to discuss this, we could discuss that later, but that's not our agenda for today. That's the prophecy that he receives. You'll receive the land, and you'll be blessed. All the nations will bless themselves. 15. Vihine tesva, vihine anochi imach. I will be with you. Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech. I will guard you and protect you wherever you go. V'hashivosicha el ha'adama hazos. I will return you to this land. Kiloa azavcha. I will not abandon you or forsake you. Ad asher imasisi es asher dibarti lach. Until I've done all that I have said to you. Again, this would seem to me to be a follow-up of what we said previously. When Hashem promised, I'm going to give you this land to you and to your descendants, this would seem to me to be a follow-up of that, when Hashem says, and I will return you to this place. So what does that sound like? Where is Yaakov now? As he said, he's in the land of Canaan. He's clearly heading to Haran, which is outside the land of Israel. So it makes sense that we would then have Hashem saying, I am going to return you here. You are heading out. Do not fear. I will be with you. I will protect you. I will return you to this place. So it sounds like he's somewhere in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Hasn't yet made it to Haran. That's what it would sound like. So far, so good? Okay, ready? Let's add one more important wrinkle. Tezayin, 16. Vayikat Yaakov Mishna. So Yaakov awakens. So remember, he's asleep because it had become nighttime. He went to sleep. He has this vision of the angels in the ladder. He has a prophecy from Hashem that he'll be protected and returned to this land. And he wakes up. And he says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. He says, behold, surely look, Hashem is clearly present in this place. V'anoichi lo yadot. I didn't know. Clearly Yaakov is having an experience in which the level of Hashem's presence, where he is greater that he suspected. He's saying, I didn't know. Rashi points out, had I known, what would he have done differently? I wouldn't have gone to sleep, Rashi says. I went to sleep on a place that's clearly very holy. Clearly Hashem's presence is very strong. Look at the vision that I had while I am here. The ladder, the angels, the prophecy, the promise of being protected, being given the land. I didn't know how powerful a place I was in. Vayirova yoimar, he was fearful and he said, Ma noro hamakom hazeh. How awesome is this place? Ein ze ki im beis Elokim. This must be a beis Elokim. What's that?
House
of Hashem. The ze shar hashomayim. And this is the gate to heaven. Where do you suppose Yaakov is right now?
I would have thought he was at the cave of hell. I know he's not.
Okay, that would be an option because he's clearly in a very special place. So where else do we think he is? Right? Har HaMoriah. He's in the place where the Beis HaMikdash is going to stand.
But it took Abraham 3 days to get there. This sounds like, you know, he's traveling on his way. The sun went down and he needs to go to sleep. Has he been traveling for 3 days?
Well, where did Abraham leave from? How long has Yaakov been traveling from?
Remember, Eliezer got to where he was going, like
right away. Yeah.
No, we'll get to that. So, leaving that aside, let's place Yaakov. The story opens up, and it says, Vayelech, Vayetze mi Be'er Sheva. He left Be'er Sheva, and he went to Haran. Well, it'd be odd to say that he actually got to Haran, because where does the next verse place him? Clearly somewhere in the land of Israel, because Hashem is giving him a promise of the land, and that he'll return him here. So he said, okay, so let's translate it as he went on the way to Haran. On the way, he gets to a place. Torah tells, remember the right, the second pasuk in the parasha, Vayifka b'makom. He reached the place. What place do we think that is right now? Right, Har HaMoriah, the place where Abraham did the Akedah to Yitzchak, the place where the future Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. That's why the Torah would say it's the place. It's the same place we've described earlier with Abraham and Yitzchak at the Akedah. It's the place. He gets there, the sun sets, he goes to sleep, he has this massive vision, and he says, I didn't know how special this place was. I didn't know. Had I known, I never would have gone to sleep. Manora HaMakom HaZeh, how awesome is this place? This is the house of Hashem, the gates to heaven. Sounds like he's in, standing on Har HaMoriah in Yerushalayim, in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So far, so good, right? That would be fine with us at this point. Mm-hmm. Let's read a little bit further. Vayashkem Yaakov Yudchas 18. Yaakov gets up in the morning. Vayikachas Eben Asher Son Mirasho Sos. He takes the stone that he had been sleeping on. Vayosem Oso Matzevo. So he makes it into a pillar. Vayitzok Shemen Al Rosha. He pours oil on it. Basically makes it into an altar. This is going to be the beginnings of the Beis HaMikdash. He basically is setting the bedrock, the foundation stone of where the Beis HaMikdash is going to stand. He has now just had a vision in which he's been promised to be returned safely. He'll be given this land. He's had this prophecy of the ladder with the angels, and he anoints a pillar, a stone, there in the place of the Har HaMoriah. Vayikra Eshem HaMakom Ahu Beis El, and he names it Beis El. The Ulam Luz Shem Ha'ir LaRishona. However, the name city was originally Luz. Now, those of us who are not biblical scholars are not going to be as troubled by this, but Luz was not Yerushalayim. Luz is actually a city north of Yerushalayim, on the border of the Shevet of in Binyamin's northernmost area of his plot of Eretz Yisrael. So those of us reading the Chumash say, all right, so he named the place Beis El. It used to be called Luz. Problem is that Luz is a different city. Luz is a reference to a city far north of Yerushalayim, far north of the place where the Beis HaMikdash stood. And the name of the city that Yaakov was in when he says, this is the Beis Elokim and the Shar HaShamayim, he's not in Yerushalayim. The Torah is saying, you know where he was in? He was in the city called Luz. And he named it Beis El. But it's not Yerushalayim. So, if I can sum up our three placements that we have so far. Number one, the parsha opens up and says, Vayetze mi Beersheva, he left Beersheva, Vayelech Charon. And he went to Charon. Now, that we can deal with, we've dealt with already, we can say, man, he went to, but that's number one we have to deal with. Then we have areas number two, all the references that seem to place him in Yerushalayim. Vayufko ba'makom. He reached or encountered the place. The place. He has this dream. He says, I didn't know how holy this place was. Which is interesting. He didn't know. Did he not know where the Akedah was? Did they forget to tell him, Avraham and Yitzchak, where that place was? But he says, I didn't know where I was. But this is clearly a house of Hashem. Clearly a gate to the heaven, and he anoints an altar, puts up a pillar there. That seems to imply that he's certainly in Eretz Yisrael, even in Yerushalayim, and the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Torah says, which is area number three, or clue number three, it says, oh, and you should know the city that he's in, which he's now named Beis El, was once called Luz, which those who would know biblical Eretz Yisrael would say was north of the land of Eretz Yisrael, closer to Haran. You know, Beersheba is south. He's already past Har HaMoriah. You know, he started south. Beersheba is down here, Yerushalayim. Luz, Beis El, is up here. That's where he was in. That's the city he was in when he named and had this whole experience. So I ask you the question, where is Waldo? Right? Where was he? How do we work out those various psukim to understand where Yaakov was? Yeah?
Rabbi, there's a concept also that Yerushalayim is going to expand from the time of Shiach. It's going to be huge. And I'm wondering if, since Luz's border is, I've been to the area where they call Beit El, it's north of Yerushalayim, It's near a settlement on Kochav Yaakov, and I was wondering, it's called Beit El, and I had thought Beit El was where he had the dream was on Har Moriah, so when I was there, I was actually wondering what it was. But the concept of being maybe that one day the words of Yerushalayim will be so big.
Thank you. Yeah, sure, thank you.
That could be a
hint
to the Messianic
time. Yeah, it could be. I'd let's see if we could come. Rashi's going to come on to something else to address that. Yeah.
To me, the wall doesn't seem like it's really on a mountain.
Oh, you're talking about the wall, meaning...
Yeah.
That's true. The Gemara actually records that, I forgot who already, when one of the temples were destroyed, that he raised the entire mountain as well. He just destroyed the entire mountain. Which is why when you look down on the Kotel, if you're in the surrounding hills, mm-hmm. you can actually look down at the Kotel and at the plaza area over there from the surrounding hills. And all of the psukim, all of the statements from the sages, all seem to imply you have to go up to get to the mountain, and yet the surrounding hills all seem higher than it. So this the Gemara records that after the destruction of the... on the first base Hamikdash, that it was already the mountain was already destroyed. Even
the Temple Mount, like the platforms and stairs, like none of those are from any of the original Second Temple or whatever.
The Temple Mount?
Yeah, like
what the area? There's
like the stone, the flat part, which you can walk on.
The plaza, no, that for sure. The wall of the Kotel that we have is from the Second Base Hamikdash. The outer wall of the Second Base Hamikdash, Herod put that up. But even that, the coastal that we have is the outside wall.
But like the rocks in the platform, that like the stone with the rocks on. Like none of those stones or rocks were there from way back when.
Which rock are you referring to?
The Delver Rock.
Meaning where the mosque is today?
Yeah, like you're like the surrounding
platform. Oh, I've never, I don't know. That I don't know.
Like is that from way back when or is that just
I don't know.
Recently renovated from New York?
No idea.
Turks did that.
Could he have just been on the board here between?
It was already lowered, the whole mosque was lowered.
So it could be
you feel a holiness when you're there.
Possibly, but we seem to have a place in a couple different places. Okay, let's address this. Rashi is going to address this in two ways. He's going to deal with it in the Pashut Pshat, the simple explanation of the text, reading through it, and then he's going to address it in based on Chazal, on the way that the sages understand it in the Gemara in Chulin, which in itself is going to lead to problems, and you'll see how Rashi is going to tackle the statements that they make. So let's start with the simpler explanation. The simple reading of the text would come out as follows. Rashi opens up on the first Rashi in the Parsha, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shova, Vayele Charan. What does it mean that he went to Charan? So this Rashi says, well, we were on our own came up with it. It's six lines down into the Rashi, in the first column. Vayelech Charana, what does Rashi say at the end of the line? Yotza Loleches L'Charan. He went out to go to Charan. What's Rashi saying with those three words? Yotza Loleches L'Charan, that he went out to go to Charan. That the simple meaning is not that he already arrived in Charan, that he was going on the way toward Charan. Why does Rashi, of course, based on what we've done so far, why does Rashi have to feel the need to comment that way? Because the subsequent verses make it clear, where is he at the time of the dream? He's in Canaan still. So if in the very next verses he's dreaming and he's already in the land of Israel, so clearly he never made it yet to Haran. The Pasuk would imply, Vayela Haran, that he went there. So Rashi takes the time to comment and say, here, that phrase means he went on the way to Charan. And as you'll see, if you look in your art scroll translation, the first verse in verse 10, they translate as they always do based on Rashi. Jacob departed from Beersheba and he went toward Charan. Why do they say that? Because Rashi does. Why does Rashi? Because the very next verses seem to imply that he's clearly still in the land of Israel. Okay, well that would leave us, so then clues 1 and 2 are dealt with. He never made it to Haran. He's still in the land of Israel. The only problem is the very last clue that we had, which said, what city was Yaakov in when he renames it Beis El? The city of Luz. Luz is north of Yerushalayim. So why is he describing a Beis Elokim and a Shara Shamayim if he's not actually there? Now, here I don't have a great... This is one of the things that I did not totally work out. I spoke to Ray Prensky about this. I've looked in the places. I think the answer is as follows. If you look in the on the next page, page 146, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the second Rashi on the page there, second line also, Ki in Beis Elokim. This is where Yaakov describes that he's in the house of Hashem. Now, Rashi's got a problem. What do you mean you're in the house of Hashem? You're in Luz. You're in the city of Luz, which is north of Yerushalayim.
Could there be more than one Luz?
Impossible. Always impossible. The simple meaning, you have to say that. The simple meaning is that he's in the city known as Luz, which was north of Yerushalayim. So Rashi says as follows, Amar Rav Elazar b'shem Rav Yossi ben Zimri, quotes one of the sages, Hasulam hazeh oimed bever sheva, the feet of the ladder, the vision that Yaakov saw, the feet were planted in Be'er Sheva, which was the place that Yaakov had departed from. The emsa shifuo magia kineged beis hamikdash. The middle of the incline of the ladder, the middle part of it, was directly above, corresponding to Yerushalayim. Shebe'er Sheva omeid bedroma shel Yehuda. Be'er Sheva was in, pretend this is a map, was in the southern border of Yehuda. Yehuda's territory, Be'er Sheva was in the south of that. Yerushalayim bitzvona bigvul shebein Yehuda binyamin. This is Yehuda's territory. So Be'er Sheva is in the bottom here. Yerushalayim is in between Yehuda and binyamin. And Luz, base El, is in the northern border between binyamin and Menashe and Ephraim up here. So says Rashi, Shebe'er Sheva omeid bidroima shel Yehuda. Be'er Sheva is in the southern area of, this is Be'er Sheva down here. Yerushalayim bitzvoina bigvul shebein Yehuda binyamin. Yerushalayim is in the northern section in between sharing Yehuda and binyamin up there. Ubeis'el haya bitzafon shel nachlas binyamin. Beis'el was in the north of binyamin, bordering, Rashi says, bigvul shebein binyamin ubein b'nei Yosef, the sons of Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe. So these are the three cities we're dealing with. Be'er Sheva, where he left. You know, Charon's out there somewhere. Be'er Sheva, Yerushalayim, Beis'el. He left here. He's dreaming, he's in Luz, and he's dreaming about, claiming he's in the Shar HaShemayim, the gates of heaven, the Beis Elokim, which is down here. Says Rashi, Nimtza Sulam Sheraglav Be'er Sheva, a ladder whose feet are in Be'er Sheva, Virosho Be'Veis El, and its head is in Beis El, because that's where he's dreaming right now. He's seeing the top of the ladder, Magia Emtza Shipua Neged Yerushalayim. So its middle will be right over Yerushalayim. If you have an ascending ladder. Now, it's not clear. It seems what Rashi is trying to address is why Yaakov, who is in Luz, base El, would say, I have seen the base Elokim, Vizeh, Shara Shamayim, this is the gates of the heaven. Why is he saying that up here? So it's on some level, I'm not sure how to address this question. This question to me is still a little bit of a question mark, because Rashi's learning this approach, and in which he describes the ladder as starting down here and ending up here, and yet somehow the middle of it is over Yerushalayim, and somehow because of that he's, I don't know if that answers the question really. To me, it really doesn't. Why, if he's still in Beis El and he's claiming that this is the Shara Shemayim and the Beis Elokim, just because the middle is over Yerushalayim. But it seems like Rashi's somehow trying to address that fact of how do I connect the fact that he's up north and he's claiming that he is seeing all the things. Now, the truth is, he might not be addressing it. He might be setting up the next part of the Rashi, which is really going to tackle this problem. Let's put that question aside, and he's going to answer it in another method. So maybe that's his only approach. I don't know. That part always has trouble. Let's read further in Rashi. Okay, so right now where we'd be set up is in the following. Let's just reset the problem. He never made it to Charon because he's still in Yerushalayim. He's in Beis El / Luz.
He's still in Canaan.
He never made it out to Charon out here. The problem that we have left is that he's up here, and the words that he's using of the Shara Shamayim, the gates of heaven, and the Beis Elokim, and he reached that place, make it imply that where is he? he's actually in Yerushalayim. Now Rashi is going to further complicate the matter by quoting the Gemara in Chulin. The sages in Chulin say the following 2 points. Says Rashi as follows, continuing if you want to read it inside. I am on page 146 in the first column of Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 lines down. There's a period in the middle of that line, and that's what I'm reading from if you want to follow. The sages said as follows. Hashem said as follows to this incident. Hashem was troubled. Should there be a tzaddik who comes to my home, my inn, and he doesn't spend the night with me? Therefore, the sages say, he made the sunset in order that Yaakov should sleep. Meaning Rashi is quoting a snippet of the statement from the Gemara. The Gemara says, in going over this, when the Gemara expounds on this little incident of Yaakov on his way to Haran, dreaming that he ended up in Yerushalayim, and Hashem said, this can't be. How could it be that Yaakov should be in my house? He's traveling through. He's on his way from the south in Beersheba on the way up to Haran. He should pass by my house and not spend the night with me. That's so inappropriate. So what did he do? So he made a miracle, and he made the sun set earlier than it would have in order that Yaakov should go to sleep there. And that, the Gemara says, is the meaning of the pasuk, the second pasuk, Vayivka b'makom, he encountered the place, Vayolin shomini slept there, Kivo hashemesh. Why did he sleep there? Because the sun set. That's a funny way of saying it. Usually the Torah would say, you know, it got late, so he went to sleep. Torah says it the other way. He went to sleep because the sun set. The implication being, only because the sun set did he go to sleep. So the Gemara in Chulin says, yes, that's right. He wasn't planning on sleeping there. He was planning on continuing his journey. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, it became dark. Certainly in those days, you could not travel at night. So he went to sleep. So the sages say, why did Hashem make the miracle that it should become dark in the middle of the day so that Yaakov should go to sleep? Because it shouldn't be that Yaakov should be in my house, in my home, and not spend the night. Can you imagine having a good friend come and say, come spend the night with me? So Hashem says, should it be that Yaakov is traveling through and not spend the night? So he made a miracle. So Rashi says, okay, here's problem number one. As far as my placement, says Rashi, I have Yaakov up there in Luz. But when the sages say over and recount this incident, they have Yaakov in Yerushalayim, because they say that there was an entire miraculous event which took place, that the sun should set early in order that Yaakov should sleep in Yerushalayim. Because Hashem didn't want it that Yaakov should visit him and not spend the night. So Rashi says, well, that's odd. I don't have him in Yerushalayim. I actually have the dream taking place, Rashi says, in Luz. And I further confuse the matter. Yeah. So one more. Says Rashi, one more thing. Ve'od Amru, Yaakov Karul Yerushalayim Beis El. There's another statement the sages make, this time in the Tractate of Psachim, that Yaakov had actually named Yerushalayim Beis El. Says Rashi, that doesn't make sense. V'zu Luzhi, v'lo Yerushalayim. Wait a minute. Yaakov named the city of Luz Beis El, but the Gemara says that no, the city that Yaakov was actually naming Beis El was Shalayim. Rashi says, I don't understand. Torah seems to put him up in Luz. That's where he seems to have the dream. That's where he goes to sleep. Yet, we have two statements from the sages which imply, where was Yaakov actually when he had the dream? In Yerushalayim. The first statement which says that the reason why he slept there is because he was passing through, and Hashem says it shouldn't be that he should be in my home and not spend the night. I'm going to make a miraculous event. The sun should set in the middle of the day. He goes to sleep. That implies he's in Yerushalayim. Then the sages say, oh, and yeah, and when he named that city, when he wakes up, Beis El, he was naming Yerushalayim the city of Beis El. Rashi says, what are you talking about? The Torah says clearly that he was in Luz, and he renamed it Beis El. What are the sages talking about when they seem in two different occasions to place Yaakov in Yerushalayim, which the verses do indicate when he wakes up and he says, this is the Beis Elokim and the Shaar Shemayim, but the Torah, on the other hand, is clearly stating, where was he? He's up in Luz. Okay, is everybody confused enough? Did I at least clearly confuse you that you understand where the problems are? Sometimes when you want to present a confusing case, you make it too confusing because you don't present it clearly and then it's all tzimish. But hopefully that was somewhat clear. Says Rashi as follows. Listen to the way that Rashi addresses this. Omer Ani, says Rashi, I hold as follows. Shne'ekar har hamoria uba lekan. Har HaMoria uprooted itself and came to where Yaakov was, which is the city of Luz. I'm going to read this and we'll explain it. These are Rashi's words, not mine. Ne'ekar Har HaMoria ubolokan v'zuhi kfitas ha'aretz ha'amura v'shchitas chulin. The Gemara in Chulin records a miraculous event, similar to what was mentioned here earlier, that when Eliezer was on his way to find a wife for Yitzchak, that the land shrunk, and he traversed a tremendous amount of ground in a very short time. Kvitzas ha'aretz, the Gemara uses that term, in which he walked regularly, and like as if the land shrunk. So Rashi says, the Gemara says the same thing about Yaakov and his trip. Rashi says, that's a reference to not the land shrinking and him traveling more in a short amount of time, but the mountain of Har HaMoriah itself uprooting itself and going up to Luz where he was. Shevot Beis HaMikdash Lekroso Ad Beis El. The Beis HaMikdash itself went to greet Yaakov in Beis El, which is up north in the city of Luz. Zehu Vayifko B'Makom, that he encountered the place. What does it mean, he encountered the place? He's walking wherever he's walking. And all of a sudden, he's in Yerushalayim. He thought he was in the city of Luz, but what happened is Yerushalayim moved to where he was, and Vayishko Bamakom, he suddenly encountered the place, and he's in Yerushalayim. Now that he's in Yerushalayim, it becomes dark, and he goes to sleep, because he's in Yerushalayim. Vim Timer says, Rashi, wait a minute. I have a question. If what happened is, he's in Luz, and Yerushalayim came to greet him, and Hashem says, how could it be that he was in my house and didn't spend the night? He can't possibly have been coming from here to here, and then have Hashem say that, because what should have happened in the normal course of events?
He would have stopped.
He would have stopped down here. If you want to make a miraculous event and bring the day to a close a little bit early, because you want the tzaddik to spend the night in your home, so then as he's walking from Beersheva up, so as soon as he gets to Yerushalayim, have the miracle occur right then and there. And but instead, he clearly had passed that. He's up here in Luz, and at that point you have a miraculous event where Yerushalayim goes up to him, and then it falls into dark, and he goes to sleep. Rashi says, I don't understand. Why did he do that on the way up? Why is it happening now that he's already up there? So Rashi says as follows: Vim Tomer, Kisha over Yaakov ad Beis HaMikdash, Madu alo Ichvur. Why didn't Hashem stop him on the way up? Why did he let him get all the way up to Luz and then do all of these things? Says Rashi, Ihu lo Yohiv libe lehispalel b'makom shehispalelu avosov. Yaakov himself didn't think to daven in the place where his fathers had davened. He was in Beersheva. He's traveling up. He walked right past Yerushalayim. And it didn't occur to him that he should stop and daven. It didn't occur to him that he needed to take the time. This is a special place. This is where the Akedah happened. This is where your grandfather, your Zaydi, bound up your father, Yitzchak, and was ready to offer him as a sacrifice. This is the place where Yitzchak went to daven. The sages say, when Yitzchak instituted the tefillah of Mincha, it was right there on Har HaMoriah. Says the Gemara, says Rashi, that Yaakov, is walking up and he didn't think to stop in daven. So in heaven they should stop him. If he himself didn't think to stop, they weren't going to stop him either. They were just going to let him, meaning they, Hashem, was just going to let him go right by. Ihu ad Haran Azal. So Yaakov made it all the way to Haran. How do we know that Yaakov made it all the way to Haran? Because you could read the pasuk the other way. The first pasuk of the parsha, Vayetze Yaakov mi Beersheva, Vayelech Harana. Says Rashi, you know what happens? He took off from Be'er Sheva and he made it all the way to Haran. Pasuk says, right? Vayetzi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Haran. Why do we think at first that didn't mean that he went to Haran? Because the subsequent psukim clearly happened in the land of Israel. Says Rashi, there's another way to read it. Vayetzi mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. Yaakov gets there. Says Rashi, when he got there, he said, "Efsher she'avarti al makom she'es palalu avosai v'lo his palalti." Can it be that I just passed by Yerushalayim? I just passed by the place that all my fathers davened, and I didn't daven there. How could that be? Says Yaakov. He travels all the way up to Har, and he says, "That's ridiculous. How can it be that I would go to such a place, pass by such a place, and not stop and daven there?" He said in his mind he was going to return. Comes back to Chazarat Beis El. When he gets to Beis El on his way back down to get to Har HaMoriah to Davin, at that point, that's when the miraculous event took place in his merit of his return trip to Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim uprooted itself and met him in Beis El. And at that point, now that Har HaMoriah had uprooted itself and went to Beis El to greet him, now that he's in Yerushalayim, Hashem said, Yaakov turned around, did his thing, Davin. Vayifko b'makom, Rashi quotes the other meaning. There are two meanings of the word Vayifko. One is that he encountered it. The other one is the language of prayer. And that now that he's hanging out in Yerushalayim, and he went to Davin, and he Davin, he instituted the tefillah of Ma'ariv. Avram established Shacharis, Yitzchak established Mincha, Yaakov established Ma'ariv. And sages say, this is where he established Ma'ariv, Ayifko b'makom, when he approached that place, that's when he established the tefillah of Ma'ariv. He turned around to go back to Haran. At that point, Hashem said, wait a minute, I'm going to have such a righteous individual in my home and not spend the night? Kivo HaShemesh, he made the sun set early, and Yaakov spent the night, and that's when he had the dream. So, to summarize that, says Rashi, the simple meaning of the psukim is that he never made it to Haran, and as he's going, he has this dream. However, Rashi says, well, that really can't be, because the Torah puts him up here, and yet the sages continuously understand that he's actually in Yerushalayim. So says Rashi, so I'll tell you what happened. He actually made it all the way to Haran. Vayelech Haran. He went to Haran. He gets there and he says, oh my goodness, I just passed by Yerushalayim and I didn't stop to daven. Puts in his mind he's going to go back. When he gets back to Eretz Yisrael, he's now in the land of Eretz Yisrael, a miracle happens, Kafsa Ha'aretz, the land, instead of shrinking so that he can walk faster, Rashi here says, the other way, this land moved up there so that he's actually now sitting in the land of, in the city of Yerushalayim, in the place where the Beis HaMikdash is. Yaakov says, I didn't know how holy this place was. I thought I was only up to Luz. And all of a sudden I find myself asleep in the city of Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, in the place of the Shar HaShemayim, the Beis HaLokim, the house of Hashem itself. That miracle happens. Hashem made the miracle that the sun should set, that he should spend the night sleeping there. And then, after that, he went back to Haran so that he never made it all the way back down physically to Yerushalayim as far as that goes. But he was in Yerushalayim up there. That's why he named it Beis El, and it was actually a name for Yerushalayim. That's how Rashi understands working out the psukim that placed him in Yerushalayim, and the Torah seems to place him in Luz. The Ramban takes Rashi to task on this. He has a whole different approach in terms of answering the questions. He doesn't like this, but that's not for today. The one thing that I want, this is my understanding of how Rashi just addresses where was Yaakov during this incident. The one thing that I'd like to share, Rav Shlomo Volda, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, so he points out when he learns this Rashi that you see a fascinating concept. Rashi points out that as much as Hashem wants Yaakov to daven at the Beis HaMikdash, to set up the foundation stone of the Beis HaMikdash, he anointed the stone, he's going to establish Ma'ariv for all time's sake. This is going to happen during this incident. He's going to have the dream of the angels and the vision and the promise of his protection, and that his children will be given the land of Israel. Rashi says, when he set out from Beersheba, and he himself did not think to stop in Yerushalayim, Hashem let him go. Said, if you're not thinking that you need to stop here, I'm not going to stop you. He makes it all the way to Haran, and then what happens in Haran? Yaakov says, it's horrible. How can it be that I just passed by Yerushalayim and didn't stop the Daven? He heads back down, and that's when the miracle happens, that he doesn't even get there, and Hashem says, can't even wait for you to be here. I'm not even going to wait for you to get there. I'm going to bring Yerushalayim to you. You just stay right there. I'm going to bring Yerushalayim to you. I'm going to have the sunset. We're going to spend the night together. What's the difference? He says. On the way up, he was in Yerushalayim. He walked right past it. And Hashem says, you're not going to stop. Don't look to me. Forget miracles. You don't need any miracles. He's right there. If you're not interested in stopping, if you don't arouse yourself, inspire yourself that there's something to be done here, it's not going to come from me. But once you get up to Haran and all of a sudden you're inspired, you create that inspiration, the arousal amongst within yourself to say, I need to go fulfill something, I need to accomplish something, that's when the miraculous events start to take place. That's when Hashem says, oh, you're interested? I'll meet you more than halfway. I'll take care of it. You just start coming back to Eretz Yisrael, I'll bring you Shalayim to you. I know that you should have that. And he points out there's always a conflict within our community of believing Jews, he says, between the concept of human accomplishments and what we call siyata d'shmaya, the help from heaven, the ability of Hashem giving us the strength and the ability to accomplish things. And it's a difficult dance that we do, in which if a person says, look how powerful I am, look what I've accomplished, what does the Torah say to him? Someone who says, beware of the person who says, Koichi ve'otzim yodi osu elias achayel hazos. Beware of the person who says, it's my own strength and intelligence and abilities that have accomplished all of these things. Hashem says, when you say that, you'll see, you won't be long before I'll kick you out of the land of Israel. I'm the one behind this. Yet on the other hand, so if we say, well, it's not me, we just adopt Hashem. We know that that's not the approach of a Jew who says, I don't have to do anything, and it's all in God's hands. By Revolta, he yells throughout his book at the young men in yeshiva, who when, if you say, things are going so well, and they say, it's all siyata d'shmaya. So they turn their eyes heavenward, and they say, it's all siyata d'shmaya. He says, what they're saying is that, you know, it's not up to them and their hard work. You know, if things are going well, it's his credit, and if my learning's not going well, it's his fault. That's what they're saying. So that's not true. So he says, this Rashi is giving you the response, is giving you the answer. Of course it's Siyata D'Shmaya. Not Siyata D'Shmaya, Hashem brought Yerushalayim to him. Why? Because Yaakov was Yohiv Daite. He put forth his own mind, and he said, I need to go back to Daven. I missed it the first time, and when he missed it, Hashem said, there he goes. He's in my house, and he's out of my house, and I'm not going to do anything to stop him. Because if he doesn't want it, I'm not giving it to him, and I'm not going to put anything in his way to stop him. Let him go right by. But when Yaakov says, wait, I need to go back. I need to daven there. I have what to accomplish. That's when things change. And Hashem says, I'll bring Yerushalayim to you. Stay where you are. Don't worry.
Hard to believe that he would just pass through and not stop.
So the Maral asks that question. The Maral says, okay, well, why did he stop? Why didn't he? So the Maral answers, because he was afraid. He was on the run from Esau. He was afraid for his life. So the Maral brings a halacha that, you know, during certain times where you can't concentrate, so you're not allowed to daven. You're exempt from davening because you can't. Davening requires a tremendous amount of mental concentration, which we're pretty weak at anyway, but I'm sure somebody like Yaakov generally had it. So that's Moral's approach, that he simply couldn't. He wasn't in a position where he was able to daven at that time.
Is this before or after he was at the yeshiva?
It seems like it's after.
But he'd already been there 14 years, so he's not really still running.
Good question. I will look back at the morale and see if I got it straight. But that's okay. My recollection of what I saw him say. So I'm hoping I'm doing justice to a Rashi in the stands of the Psukim and the where was Yaakov as the course of events went through. And then Revolver's understanding, he says, just look at what the Chumash is saying. Look at what Rashi is telling you about that relationship between Hashem is playing a role and our, where our role is in simply is in the Ratzon. Our desire, our will. What is it that you want to do? When you decide what you want to do, Hashem will say, I'll help you out. I'll be there for you. If you don't want it, so don't look to me. If you don't want it, I'm not doing it for you. But when you want it, when you want it, I'll bring you the mountain. I'll bring it to you. Yeah.
He was told by his mother to go to Haran.
Right.
He fulfilled the mitzvah, according to this explanation, 100% without stopping, because he would keep it out. And he kind of, in a way, didn't get a lot of opportunities to do on all the period of time he was away from his parents. So imagine his mother, you know, telling him, go to Haran. You know, this is the matriarch, and this is his last chance to do mitzvahs for a long time. His father is nifter already. So, or Avram's nifter. So, he literally would have fulfilled the mitzvah at the highest level by going there first and coming back to do Yerushalayim second. And then also Moshe in the desert.
So he, it wasn't a matter of nurse, he just didn't stop to die. He wasn't even planning on spending a night. I mean, he's allowed to stop.
Okay. And then, what about Moshe not knowing that he was on holy grounds when Hashem told him to take off his shoes? And there's the midrash that Hashem picked up Har Sinai over us. Moving Har Sinai around is not uncommon, because he held it over our heads in the Sinai desert, moved it to another place completely, according to the midrash. So it's not unusual to understand that Hashem would move the mountain. But the holiness can be passed by because it's not. I think Avram told Yitzhak, what do you see over there? I don't know if even Yitzhak saw the holiness when he was...
They both saw that. That's why they left Ishmael and Esau behind, because they didn't see it. But again, that's how Rashi learns the Psukim. So his midrashic approach of what Chazal is saying, Vayelech Haran, means he actually got to Haran. The dream implies he was in Yerushalayim at the same time that the Torah tells us he was in the city of Luz. How do you work that all out at the same time? So Rashi says, so it's all true. First he got to Haran, then he got to Luz, and when he was in Luz, Hashem said, you want to dive in here so badly? You just wait right where you are. I'll bring you to the mountain. It brings the mountain of Haran Moriah to him. That's where he davens. Then Hashem says, listen, I have a tzaddik in my midst. I'm not letting you go out so fast. Makes the sun set that he'll spend the night. And while he's spending the night, that's where the dream takes place. So in Rashi's understanding, that's the... what I'm looking for?
Sequence.
Thank you. Of events as to what happened. First he davened, after the miraculous event of the mountain being moved. After he davened, he was ready to set back to Haran. Hashem says, not so fast. You can't leave without spending the night. That's when Kivo HaShemesh, that's when the sun sets. He has the dream of the ladder and the angels and the promise, and then he eventually makes it back to Haran for the second time.
So he recognized Yerushalayim on his travel back, and he davened, and then Hashem made the sunset. It's not that he got to a point and then Hashem made the sunset and he davened.
Correct.
And then
Tosus asks the question that because of the sequence as Rashi's learning it, he actually davened before nightfall. So Tosus asks, wait a minute, the sages say, which tefillah did Yaakov establish in this incident? What time of day was it?
It's still day.
Tosus in Brachos asks that question. So Tosus answers, there's actually two opinions. You ever notice on Friday nights when we daven Ma'ariv? So that's based on a whole complicated discussion. There's a dispute in the Mishnah as to when can you daven Ma'ariv. One opinion is that you're going daven Ma'ariv after sunset. And the other opinion is you can daven Ma'ariv after Plag Mincha, an hour and a quarter before sunset. So we hold that you could do either, you just can't do both during the same day. So on any given day, you can either daven Mincha before Plag Mincha and Ma'ariv after, or you can daven Mincha all the way up to sunset and daven Ma'ariv after. But you just can't do, you can't daven both Mincha and Ma'ariv at the same. So Tosa says, this incident is a proof to the opinion that says you can daven Ma'ariv an hour and a quarter before nightfall, because it's clear that Yaakov davened before the miracle of the sun setting early. That's why he had to spend the night. He was ready to go home. He had done his job. He'd come, he'd daven, he's ready to go home. And Hashem says, no, I need you to stay here. Makes the sun set early and he goes to sleep. But he clearly davened during the day. So Tosa says, this is a proof to that opinion that says you're allowed to daven an hour and a quarter before sunset Maariv, and that the original Maariv was actually established at that time. That's a great comment. That's correct.
It is Lewis is in Canaan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's in the northern border between Binyamin and Menashe and Ephraim.
Okay, so I'm just trying to, because I don't remember, about the angels ascending and descending. And some were ascending and descending.
Right, that's also
to do with,
yes, excellent
where
question.
He was.
And the sages say that the reason why the Torah says they were ascending first and descending second, we would have thought it should have been the opposite. First they descend from heaven and then ascend. So Rashi comments the angels that were accompanying him from Eretz Yisrael were ascending first, and then he was getting a new set of angels descending from Canaan. So this Rashi is difficult because he already got to Haran and then had come back. Now, that would be an odd sequence, yeah.
Now you have to teach the class all over.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So the emails went out, then we switched it back to 12. The first week back to 12.
No way.
Yeah.
We have to double it now.
The first round is over.